Welcome back, everybody, to The Slow Pitch. And today we have a special guest, and Lane is not going to be joining us. He was tied up today, but we have Ina Koveni. And I just wanted to say thank you first off to start us off. Thank you for joining us or me. Today we're going to talk about money issues. And a lot of people have money issues that are a little bit weird, and they're mental most of the time, right? So, but let's do a little chat here. Let's talk a little bit about it. So, in your past, and we had interacted a little bit, or I'd watched you on a presentation, and that's why I asked you to come to the show, because some of the things you talked about was really interesting in terms of how you overcame some of that. So I think, given the audience that's on this show, which is all mostly salespeople, small business owners, people who have to sell for a living, I know that they get into trouble because they feel like they can't get past their own problem, right? And so I thought it'd be interesting to have you come on and talk a little bit about that. So can you just give us a little bit of a brief, just high level, you know, who you are, what you do, just to give us a little background?
Sure. And thank you so much for having me, Rob. My name is Ina Koveni, like you said, and I am a business coach. I'm the host of the Global Phenomenon podcast, and I specialize in helping other online coaches get clients even while their audiences are very small. So while everybody else is trying to get them to sign up for their courses to grow an audience, I'm like, how about we just start making money right now? And that's what I like to talk about, is monetizing small audiences. And yeah, this topic of money has been really, really, really interesting. I can't wait to see where our conversation takes us.
Yeah. So give me a little history. So have you always been pretty confident about money, or has this been an issue for you? Have you ever had that problem before? Like, I know I did, but you know, some people don't.
No, I grew up basically having everything that I needed, right? I came from, middle class Venezuelan family where I needed nothing, right? Everything was given to me. So I grew up not really worrying that I wasn't going to have money, because money was always there. So what ended up happening was I graduate college. My parents pay for college. I walked away with no debt. And this is when they go, okay, now you go and make your own life, right? So I got myself a really good job, and I was making really good money for somebody who's 23 years old. I was making a really good living, not having any expenses. But I had no idea how to manage money, because I had never had to. It was just always there. So one time, I remember there were these consultants from American Express that would come to my office, like at work, and would try to like pitch themselves, like help people out. And I'm like, oh, I'm all set. But once I started looking at my bank account, I noticed that as much money as I was making, there was always less and less and less money each month. And like, what is happening? It's not like I don't have kids. I'm not married. Yeah. I have nothing else to spend money on. Where's my money going? So I started, I met with the American Express people, and they're trying to sell me, you know, like a package for several hundred dollars, and they would help me figure out my finances. And I'm like, I just showed you my bank account. You know that I don't have the money to pay you for this. So how about I'm just going to do it on my own? So I went back, and I'm a big spreadsheet nerd. Yep. So I put all of my expenses, and I started really tracking where my money was going. And from there, I just became really obsessed with just tracking my money, where my money was going. And I did that, you know, all through my adulthood. When I got married, my husband was equally meticulous about money. So we decided, well, I'm doing it through a spreadsheet. You're using Quicken or whatever software he uses. So you have a much more efficient process. So he went on to take care of the finances in our family. And he has done an amazing job at managing it all, keeping us out of debt, paying off our cars. Like, he's been doing great. So I haven't had to touch it until I started my business. Yep. And then that problem started to rear its ugly head again, that I wasn't even looking at it. And I found myself in a position where a lot of coaches, a lot of people who start an online business find themselves, which is, we are being told all the time, if you want to grow your business, you need to invest in yourself, and you need to invest in your business, and you need to be paying for coaches and courses, and you know, you got to invest, and you got to invest. And you got to realize that people who are telling you that, they're selling you something, right? Yes. They're encouraging you to spend your money on them. But I didn't see it that way before. I just took that as a mantra. If I'm serious about my business, then I need to be investing in myself. So I spent, and I mean, all of my money went into programs and courses. And in the first 3 years of my business, it was all downhill. Like what I was making was not offsetting what I was, how much I was spending. So I was in the negative every single year until 1 year. It was the end of 2020, right? That was like the worst year of all of our lives, 2020.
Yeah.
At the end of 2020, I got angry. I got really angry that I had drank the Kool-Aid, that all my money had just gone down the drain, and I'd been in business for 3 years, and I really had no savings. I had no profits, right? I had nothing. And I got angry, and I sent a letter to my audience, to my mailing list, and I told them, like, I am mad. I am mad that I let myself fall into this situation because I am much smarter and much more resourceful than that. So 2021 was the year that I turned everything around and I said, no more. I looked at all of my expenses and I said, what do I absolutely not need right now? Have I really maximized what I have learned from courses and programs and coaches that I have signed up for? No, the answer is no, I have not. I have not been implementing on everything I've been learning. So you know what? This is a time to zip it, to no more further investing and just falling for it. And I'm just going to apply the things that I have learned from the best people that I've invested in the past 3 years. And 2021 was the year that I went from negative thousands of dollars per year to 30% profits in my business.
Nice. Yes.
So that's kind of the spot where I am right now, keeping track and making sure that I hold on to these profit margins.
Yes. So now when you went through all of that, that's the hard part where you learn that lesson of, oh man, I need to make more than I spend every month, right? Mm. So, you know, how do I do that? But then the next step of that becomes for a salesperson, when you're selling your business, how do you talk about money? Because when people say, well, how much is your business? How much is your service cost? And you say, you know, it's X thousands of dollars. And they go, that's too high. You have to have the confidence. How do you get past that? How did you do that where you were able to say, no, I'm worth, like, how did you get that? How did you get there?
This is the trick of it, is not just being confident of the price, is being confident that there is the perfect person out there for this offer. And that just one person telling me that this is not the right price for them or not the right offer for them, it's completely meaningless. It doesn't say anything about my ability to sell this to the right person, right?
Yes.
That's really the trick of it. If I listen to everybody who told me that my program is too expensive, right? Yeah. I have programs at different levels. I created a program because I saw coaches going through what I went through. I said, you know what would be sweet? If there was a coaching program that I didn't have to drop $5,000 right out of the gate and 2 months later realize that it wasn't for me and I'm still on the hook for the 12-month payment plan. You know what would be really sweet? If there was a coaching program out there that gave me what I needed, but I could quit whenever I want if I decide that this is not right for me. So like membership style. So my program, like my signature program, is a $200 membership. Right? It's at a high level enough that it's not just for anybody who's just tire kicking, but it's low level enough that people who understand that this type of coaching packages go for $3,000, they'll understand that this is a good deal. And as soon as they stop paying, if they don't want to continue this anymore because it's not for them or they're implementing something else, they can just stop their payments. They don't have access to anything else. And if they want to come back, they can. So I created an offer that feels really good to me. And Rob, people tell me all the time, I don't think I have the money to invest in that, right? I also have clients who end up signing up for my VIP annual membership who tell me, I think your services are too cheap. Like, Ina, you gotta be charging more for what you're giving. So I hear both. So which one is right? There is no absolute. There's just the right person for the right offer.
I'm going to stop this conversation right now. If you're finding value in any one of our episodes, we want you to share it with somebody else. Just tell somebody, hey, go listen to these guys. This has been good. Second, give us a review. Tell us what you think. And the third thing, hit that subscribe button so that you always get updated every time we release an episode.
We'd really appreciate it. Now back to the show.
It's interesting that you make the comment that you have to separate the fact that what you're charging is what you're charging or is what it's worth. And one person telling you that it's too high or too low is irrelevant. It's getting in front of the right person. And so I think one of the things that I've found over time, and it sounds like you have as well, is that you've been able to mentally separate yourself, your own self-worth, from what you're charging, if you will, or from that dollar value that you're applying. You're saying, it doesn't mean that I'm worth less or not worth as much as I'm charging. It just means they're not ready for my service because they're not at that level. That's it. I mean, that's really the hardest part I feel a lot of salespeople run into.
Yeah, it really is about the right person for the right offer. I mean, I could pitch my offer to an entire room full of people, and most of them are going to say, that's too high, there's no way. But yeah, then there's a couple who are going to say, yes, that is right for me. And it's my job as the salesperson to realize, okay, you two who like this offer, how do I attract more people like you, so that I can have less conversations than the ones that I would have had with 90% of the room, and more conversations like the ones I'm having with you. So the point of separating yourself from the worth of it, it actually comes down to positioning in the marketplace, is understanding that my offer is not me. My offer is something that already exists and that other people are offering something to the same audience. So I need to understand what that is. If my ideal client is being faced with two options, one that is, $5,000 for a certain level of service, and mine, which is $200 a month for a certain level of service, I know when that person is going to say, wow, Inas is a no-brainer. And I know when that person is going to say, I know that Inas is a no-brainer, but I know that this $5,000 program, I'm going to get more high touch, right? And maybe that's what that person needs. So there's also there's also respecting people's decision-making, right? I'm not trying to dupe anybody into working with me. And if somebody doesn't want to work with me, that was not a failure of me. The only thing that I can do is explain, these are your options. This is what you get out of it. And you, who are a grown-up, can decide by looking at everything else, any other offer out there, if mine is the best one for you.
Yeah. How would you recommend a salesperson who struggles with that? Number one, being able to separate themselves from the value of whatever they're offering, but more or less transitioning from this, everybody keeps telling me a price too high, to I'm worth this. And that's not what you want to pay. That's okay. I'll find somebody that is. You're right. How do you transition? How have you been able to do that? And how would you recommend others do that?
I think it has a lot to do with, and I hate to say this because it's not something you can figure out overnight,
right?
But it's with practice. It's getting on enough sales calls to hear a yes, right? If somebody's struggling to sell a program, I'd be asking them, how many sales calls have you gotten on in the past month? How many were a yes? How many were a hell yes? How many were a no? How many were a not yet? How many ghosted you, right? So you can start to see what your conversion rates are.
Yep.
I heard from somebody who is really smart that you should be aiming for about 40% conversion rate on your offer. Anything higher than that, and you're pricing it too low. Anything
too low,
lower than that, right? And the offer is just not hitting right with the right person. So when people go, this is just something everybody has to know. When people go and like salespeople, right? Like coaches and people who are there talking about this stuff, when they say, oh, now I used to not land like 1% of my calls, and now I sign 90%, like 9 out of 10 of the people that I get on a call with, they sign with me, right? The implication there, right? Like what they want us to believe is that, oh, they're so much better at sales now than they were before.
Yeah.
But really what's happening is two things. Number one, that their offer is becoming more well known, right?
Yep.
If they are raising their profile, improving their profile, then people, before they get on the call, they're going to be a yes already. Right? That's a great way to increase your conversion rates, is to be sure that the person is already a yes before you even get on a call. Right? That's number one thing that's happening.
Yep.
The number two thing that's happening is that they are being, because they're growing, they're being more choosy about who they get on a call with, which is not what happens when you first start. When you first start, you're getting on a call with anybody who will listen to you. So you can start collecting that data, right? And start to get to know people and start to get feedback on the offer. So yeah, in the beginning, you're going to be getting on 50 sales calls and only landing maybe 5 or 10, like, right? Yes. That would be great. As you get better with it and as you start to hear yes, once you start to hear yes, the no's start to mean a lot less because you start to realize, like, I already got yeses. I know that they're out there. This no, completely irrelevant. Hey, I get it. This is not right for you at this moment. Stay in touch. Maybe it will be later on. And if you have any questions, let me know. You close the call. You are fine. Nothing to do with you. That was just not the right person for it. So that's what I think is happening.
Yeah, and I think you're dead on. And I think your comment about having a price that is so good that people are saying yes too often becomes a real issue. Like, over time, I have learned that when I have too much work, then I need to raise prices because I should be getting less clients, paying more per hour, per whatever, so that I can work the same amount of hours I should be able to work, not overexert, but be better quality for that person, for that client, and charge a little more for that. And that's okay. But I think the interesting part, too, that you just made a comment about was that you're transitioning from a lot of meetings and a lot of no's to finding the sweet spot of who you should be in front of. And then once you get there, you start to identify that target, get in front of more of those who are also able to pay that price and say, yeah, this is a no-brainer. That you're dead on. That is exactly the way it should be, right?
Yeah, and it's almost like it happens almost by magic, because once you identify those people, you know exactly how to talk to them and you know exactly what they're looking for. And if somebody signs up for a call, you could tell in the first 5 minutes if this is going to be a yes or a no, and you can handle that conversation differently. Because I am a big fan of not treating every conversation like a sales call. I'm a big fan of treating every conversation as a discovery, as a finding out, okay, what is it that you need? What is it that I do? Is there an overlap in there? Can we intersect someplace? And if no, great. If yes, how do we make that work? Is it really the money that is a barrier? Is there a payment plan that I can offer you that would make this a yes, right? It's workshopping rather than, you know, I am a shark, and as soon as you get in, like, in my mind, I need to sign you, otherwise I'm worth nothing. It's a partnership with that person, and many times it doesn't work out, and that is okay.
And what I'm hearing you say or describe is, hey, there is no pressure on your side to close the deal.
Right.
And that, I think, is very important to understand for anybody who's listening, that when you're in pressure situation, I have to close this because otherwise I'm not going to pay my next bill. That's a problem. And so that goes back to, what does the pipeline look like? How many leads, how many people are interested? If you've been filling that and you've got a good lead of a whole bunch of different people, you're in a good place. You can walk into the meeting and go, I don't care if I close this or not. And guess what? You come across in a much stronger place, more confident, and you're probably, because you don't feel like you need it, you're probably going to close the sale. I can't tell you how many times I've had it, and you probably had the same thing. When you look at it and go, boy, I kind of hope this one doesn't close because this is going to take a lot of work to get going. And so you kind of act like, I don't know if this is a good idea. And what do? Please, let's get started. And you're like, no.
I have legit been on conversations on sales calls like that where I say, you know, I don't think this is it. I don't think this is exactly what you need. I don't think this is exactly what you're looking for. Maybe I can recommend you to somebody else. And they convince me that they need to work with me. Like, that has happened. And no, I love it that you said that about desperation. Desperation, people can smell it a mile away. Right. Because I work with coaches whose businesses are not necessarily like on rails. Right. Like, that's why they come to me, because they need to get clients with their small audience. There are some coaches who come into the relationship with that sense of like, I need to make my bills and I need to put food on the table. What do I do to get money fast? And I'm like, man,
you waited too long.
I can't help you. I cannot help you make money fast. I can help you establish a very strong foundation so that, you know, from now until 3 months, 6 months, 1 year down the line, you have a strong business and you don't have to worry about these things. But this is not a get rich quick scheme. This is not a make money overnight. Like, if I had the answer to how to make money overnight, I would just give it to you. But all of these things really takes a lot of time, effort, patience, and really finding the right fit, not just any fit.
Yes, it's totally true. And the time that you put in, and that's one of the things that, you know, we've talked about, Lane and I have talked about in our shows before, is tracking the meetings and tracking the tasks and behavior things that you do to fill the pipeline, get in front of the right clients or potential clients and actually close, and tracking which ones and which areas are productive for you. That then leads to you saying, okay, I need to do more of this and less of that, saving you some time and focusing more on who the right people are and getting in front of those people. So all of that makes sense. And I think, you know, what your pipeline looks like, how much pressure you're under when you're making sales calls or trying to meet and trying to get things to close, all can either make or break you. And so I think you're right on. Listen, I think, you know, we've gone through a good quick conversation. And I think it's really important for people that are listening to understand that the goal of this conversation was be to quick in and out. Let's get this conversation started. If people wanted to get a hold of you, because I know you're looking for coaches, how would they get a hold of you? And what's the perfect type of person to be in front of, just so that if they wanted to get a hold of you?
Yeah, sure. So the best place to talk to me is on Instagram. I'm there all day, every day. And I'm on Instagram at Your Engagement Coach. And I have a masterclass that I teach periodically where I teach coaches how to get clients with a small audience. So if anybody who's listening is a solopreneur, they have a small audience and they're kind of falling in the trap of having to grow their audience, but still the audience is not growing, they're still getting themselves in debt and they're still not getting clients, then it's time to rethink how they're doing their sales. Because, like, I love it that you said the lead pipeline, because that is so, so important. People think that they turn followers into customers when really followers turn into leads, which then turn into customers. And that's basically like the basis of everything that I teach. So if anybody would like to come to that masterclass, just go to tinyaudiencemasterclass.com. I teach it periodically and it would be great to see you there, because I'm going to teach you all of those foundations. And yeah, on Instagram, DM me, Your Engagement Coach.
Perfect. Listen, Ina, I really appreciate you spending some time with me and just going through this, because I think people don't understand how other, you know, when you're in it, you think you're by yourself, right? I mean, especially when you're in a small business or a salesperson, you're in this and you're like, I think I'm the only one having this problem, and you're not. And somebody like you can really help them with some of that stuff. So I appreciate you being a part of the show. Thank you so much for your time. And for those of you that are out there, if you want to get a hold of her, I'll put the links in the show notes so that they have that as well. But until next time, everybody, slow down and close more, and we'll see you guys later. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to The Slow Pitch. Do you have a question about sales? Call or text your question at 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or you can email them to questions@theslowpitch.com. Slow down and close more.
Thanks as always for listening today. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review. We really appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at The Slow Pitch. We were mixed today, as always, by Johnny Polakis, and we were produced by High Gravity Studios. Music credits and other notes are in the show notes section on theslowpitch.com, and we'll be back with another episode soon.